This is Classic Business with Michael Avery on Classic 102.7 in Gauteng and Fine Music Radio in Cape Town.
Offshore investments, the good, the bad, and the need to know. Find out why everyone's talking about investing offshore, but maybe for the wrong reasons. Stay tuned as Coronation Fund Managers unpack facts from fiction. Coronation, trust is earned. Coronation is a registered FSP. And it seems like everyone has been talking about going offshore for the last few years now. And we know why. The South African economy has remained stuck in first gear while the rest of the world sort of chugs along in fifth. And I often look to successful investors to get insights on how to approach investing, and offshore is certainly no different. Warren Buffett and Peter Lynch, I think two of the most successful investors of all time. And Buffett says to only invest in what you know and at the right price, while Lynch says buy what you know. But before we even get to that point, do we actually know why we're actually investing offshore? Or are we just following the weekend braai or dinner table talk? Well, to find out, it's a great pleasure to welcome our offshore partner, Peter Kempen, who's head of retail distribution at Coronation. Evening, Peter. Really good to have you on the show and to have this partnership with Coronation. And we all know that we shouldn't be putting all of our eggs in one basket. But do we actually know why we're choosing certain offshore baskets over other offshore baskets or local baskets, so to speak? How are we approaching this?
Thanks, Michael. Let me start by saying that we think it's great that people are talking about investing at all. We know that the climate is tough out there and that it impacts the amount of money that South Africans have available to invest outside of their retirement savings. So for those investors who are in the privileged position to have discretionary savings available to invest, they may be wondering where best to put that money. And it certainly doesn't look like investing locally is the wise thing to do, because there is a lot of uncertainty about the country's economic future, which leaves many South Africans feeling unsettled about their own financial futures. And Minister Mboweni's mini-budget a couple of weeks ago reminded us that the cupboards are bare and economic growth will be even poorer than the estimates given in February's budget.
And I think that is the big concern. I mean, you've touched on a number of points there. The fact is, we are worried as South Africans about the outlook for the economy. We know the fiscal situation is terrible, but are those the right reasons to be investing offshore then? What are the wrong reasons to be investing offshore? Let's frame it that way.
I think to be investing offshore because the picture at home is bleak or because the rand is depreciating against the dollar are definitely not the right reasons. We understand that many people feel the need to react or to act, and if you look back historically, flows into international funds have spiked when the rand-dollar exchange was weak. But the decision to invest offshore is one that should be informed by reason, not the myopia of the day. So here's an interesting example. In 2000, the rand weakened materially as a result of the global sell-off that impacted all emerging markets, despite South Africa achieving its first investment grade rating. Then in 2001, the local share index managed to outperform the global index despite a 37% fall in the value of the rand.
Huh.
So no matter what the current market sentiment is, we believe it's always a good time to consider the long-term benefits of owning a balanced portfolio of both local and offshore assets. The challenge is to cut through the media hype of doom and gloom and to keep your eye on the long-term goals when allocating to offshore assets.
And I think what your example demonstrates is that that mistake that seems to be made time and time again when investors are sucked into the myopia, as you said, of buying high and selling low. And in fact, we should be looking for opportunities to buy low and selling high. Given that those are the wrong reasons, what would be the right reasons for pursuing offshore diversification?
Well, as I said earlier, the first thing to remember is that it's not a question of when. Instead, it's a matter of always. Always have a balanced portfolio of both international and domestic assets, as it's futile to try and time the markets. So from a young age, we're taught not to put all our eggs into one basket, and this talks to the value of diversification, which is the key benefit of having at least some of your assets offshore. International assets improve your portfolio by diversifying economic risk, jurisdictional risk, currency risk, industry, as well as company-specific risks without necessarily reducing your expected long-term returns. And in addition, there are more than 5,000 investable shares in the global universe that allow you to access growth opportunities, as well as other industries and geographies not available to the local equity market. In the local market, there are only about 160 investable shares. So in essence, you want to give your investments access to the world's best growth opportunities, regardless of whether they're in developed or emerging markets. And so the only question that matters matters when investing offshore is how you go about investing offshore.
It's quite clear that. I don't know why anyone would want to limit themselves to what is only 1% of the investable universe. So if it's all about the how, and we're going to explore the how in next week's slot, let's just clarify what you really mean when referring to investing offshore, because so many JSE-listed companies actually earn more than 50% of their revenue outside of South Africa. So what does offshore mean in this instance?
Well, I think that's a very important distinction to make, because there are different ways to invest offshore or gain offshore exposure depending on your individual needs. So if you're only investing for retirement through a Regulation 28 compliant local balanced fund, you may already have some international exposure in your portfolio. If, for example, you're invested in one of Coronation's multi-asset class funds, you would have considerable offshore exposure by way of their direct offshore exposure within the fund, as well as indirect or rand hedge component within local equities, those being the companies on the JSE that earn most of their revenue outside of South Africa, as you mentioned. So there may be an argument that a South African investor's offshore exposure in a local Reg 28 compliant fund is probably sufficient, but they will remain underexposed to specific economic trends and sectors that they can't access via the JSE, as I mentioned. So just to provide an example, if you want to invest in global tech, you only really have one option on the JSE, which would be the Naspers process listings, yep. Whereas globally there are numerous stocks such as Apple, Microsoft, Alphabet, which is the old Google, Facebook, etc., that you could access. This means that there could be a solid argument in a discretionary portfolio to have more offshore exposure from a simple diversification point of view. And here's where you have the choice. If you only seek additional economic diversification, you can achieve that by investing in a rand-denominated international fund that invests in global markets. But if you want to also achieve jurisdictional diversification, you can achieve that by investing in a foreign currency-denominated fund, which would require you to convert your rands into a foreign currency first. So for either of these routes, Coronations offers easy-to-access funds that are carefully designed to meet the investors' offshore needs.
And that is important here, because I think many investors, when they think investing offshore, the fact that they might want to go and invest in foreign currency-denominated funds, think it can be quite complex. But certainly what Coronation has done is take a lot of the complexity out of it. If you were to just sum it all up for us in a nutshell, can you do that?
Sure. I think the key point is that investing offshore is not about the current market sentiment, and that it's always a good time to consider the long-term benefits of owning a balanced portfolio of both international and domestic assets. And next week in the discussion that we'll have then, we'll unpack how to invest in offshore in a little bit more detail.
Well, there you have it. It's all part of that only free lunch in investing, diversification. Next week, unpacking how to invest offshore in more detail with Peter Kempen, Head of Retail Distribution at Coronation. You can invest offshore with Coronation to access unique international investment opportunities, as well as 25 years of offshore investment expertise. The world is yours. Just ask your financial advisor or search for Coronation Offshore. Coronation, trust is earned.